I'm Marlena, and you're listening to the Marlena Program, heard weekly at this time on ACB Radio Mainstream. For the next 2 hours, give or take, we'll be taking your phone calls at 866-666-7926. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your ideas, your suggestions, your opinions, whatever. Why don't you come on in, get comfy, spend some time with me, and give me a call, huh? Right here on Marlena.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, depending where you are here on Mainstream. My name is Jeff Bishop, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours or so as we present to you tonight the Marlena program. Marlena and Gary the Board Guy are out traveling the seas, heading to Alaska. We heard from Marlena this evening, and she may be giving us a little bit of a surprise during the second hour of the show. So stay tuned for that. We're definitely looking forward to that. Tonight, we're going to be bringing you a very, very special presentation. Mike Hinkson has offered to join us tonight to talk to us all about his 9/11 story as well as other topics. And we know that many of you have had the opportunity to hear Mike during the ACB 2006 convention. And so now tonight, you're going to get an opportunity to actually talk to Mike. And we're not going to be using Marlena's number, the normal 7926 number, which many of you probably have memorized. We're going to be using a special number, and when we get to that point, we'll be giving you that. But I wanted to give you a bit of information about what you need to do to call in. Here is how it works. We are using a Skype-in number. So for those of you who are using Skype, please do not call in using Skype. Pick up the phone and dial the number. If you don't, you're going to get some very, very interesting Skype artifacts back. We won't hear them on the stream, but you'll probably hear them in Skype. So whatever you do, if you're going to call into the show tonight, then just pick up that phone and dial the 800 number that we'll give you in just a few minutes and do it that way, all right? The other thing to remember is that if someone is already on the line, you'll hear a voicemail message on that line. So that will mean that you just need to hang up and call back. So the best thing to do is listen to the stream and then dial in when you hear someone hang up or at least close to hanging up. All right, well, let's without further ado, let's bring Mike in. Hello, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you very, very much for joining us here on Mainstream. I know it's a really busy time for you and also a pretty emotional time for you as well.
Actually, I was just sitting here watching part of the CBS documentary on 9/11, the film that the two French brothers took. I saw it several years ago and now kind of was watching part of that again. So yeah, it is definitely an emotionally tough time.
Yeah. Well, before we get into that part of the story, can you go ahead and introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get going from there.
Goodness. Well, as you said, I'm Mike Hinkson. I live in California now. I work for Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Rafael, California, as the National Public Affairs Director for the school, which is a job that has me working with the Development Department as a member of that part of the organization, helping in the fundraising efforts. Also, a lot of what I do is to travel around the country and, in fact, around the world, acting as a professional speaker, traveling to talk about trust and teamwork, change, moving on from 9/11, a variety of topics that really stem from my career of 27 years in sales management, and marketing, where I was involved in selling a variety of high-tech computer products and managing sales forces to do that. So when I joined Guide Dogs, of course, 9/11 had occurred, and we had become pretty visible in the media and, in fact, among
various organizations asking me to come and speak and so on. So we wrote in the opportunity to travel and do public speaking as a part of my job, because it also makes guide dogs more visible, guide dogs for the blind more visible. It also is an opportunity to educate people about blindness and about guide dogs in specific, but certainly generally more about blindness as a whole, telling people blindness isn't the handicap unless we think it is. The real handicap does consist of the perceptions that we all have about what it means to be blind. Trying to get people to think outside their own comfort zones about that, and about change, and about moving on, as I said, from what occurred on 9/11. So a variety of topics that help in the corporate world dealing with change, and a variety of other things to help people understand that the world is different, but we all can deal with it.
Right, yeah. Well, it's definitely provided for some very interesting opportunities, and probably some real difficult situations for many people, especially those who live in the New York area and other areas, because obviously people move around.
Well, all over. Certainly more in the New York area than a lot of places, but in fact, in different ways in other parts of the country. In other parts of the country, people would say things like, we got to get back to normal. They still say, we really need to get back to normal. And the reality is, normal's different. So we can't get back to normal, because normal will never be the same again. So somewhat different issues, but really part of the same overall whole that I see in New York. People in other parts of the country can't talk about it. They may not have had the same level of traumatic shock, but it's there. And a lot of people are paralyzed and can't move forward from what happened on 9/11. We as a society don't tend to learn how to deal with change very well. We've not been taught that change really is a significant part of our lives, even though it is. We don't notice it because most of the time the changes are very, very small. But we don't talk about that. We don't deal with change, especially large changes. And we view large change generally as very traumatic. We view it as a negative thing. And the fact is that, again, it can be negative or it can be positive. And certainly there's a lot of negative and tragic parts of 9/11. The positive part of it is how we choose to deal with it and what we do as a result of being part of the change. We can choose to move forward. We can choose to make ourselves better people or not. And that's also part of it.
Right. Yeah, that's something there. Now where were you working during the time of 9/11?
I worked in the World Trade Center on the 78th floor. I worked for Quantum Corporation. I was the regional sales manager for the company, and so I had a responsibility of overseeing the sales and service force, and bringing in and coordinating the sales through that office, which was about 15% of the overall sales of the company.
Wow. Okay. So you were pretty high up on the in the tower then, as far as floor goes.
Yeah. We were pretty high up.
Yeah.
Tower had 110 floors. We were on the 78th floor, so we were near 1,000 feet.
Right. Now I recall from listening to the stream that you were getting ready for some sort of a training event or something like that, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you want to pick up the story from there?
I was in the office to train some people from outside organizations who were involved in reselling our products. The only other Quantum person who was there was not a resident of the office, but somebody who had flown in the night before, David Frank, who had flown in from our California office. David and I were there along with some early arrivals and my guide dog, Roselle, who was under the desk asleep doing what she usually did after she greeted everybody who came in. And so at 8:45, 8:46 in the morning, I was just preparing to do a final list of people who would be attending the conference or the training sessions a list that we would send down to the security folks so that they could authorize these people to come up when the plane hit the building. And when the plane hit, of course, none of us knew what happened. The plane struck about 18 floors above us on the 96th floor. They said between 96 and 102. We had to try to figure out what was occurring. David and I were in my office. I went to the doorway and stood in the doorway. I always grew up that and learned when you feel a building move, you get to a doorway because it very well could be an earthquake, and buildings' strongest points are doorways. So I stood in the doorway. Dave was holding onto my desk. Roselle was asleep under my desk. The building just kept tipping in one direction because the airplane was trying to push it over. When the building stopped moving, we had just said goodbye to each other because we thought that we were going to fall to the street. That didn't happen. The building went upright again, and then people started seeing fire and smoke, so what we needed to do was to evacuate. There was no question about evacuating even before we heard about fire and smoke, and people started screaming because they saw it. The smoke wasn't in our office. The fire wasn't in our office. It was above us. Nevertheless, it was there. I believed everyone who was saying that. There was debris falling outside our window, and so we needed to evacuate. I worked to get our guests out, and then after we got them started to the stairs, and after David got them to the stairs and came back, we left once we made sure that there was no one else in the office. We descended the stairs and worked as we went down to all keep each other calm and focused and moving toward the lobby. When we got to the lobby of the building, we were told to go to not an exit of the building, but a door that went into the central part of the World Trade Center, which was a shopping mall. We went through the mall and finally got outside at about 9:45 that morning. After we got outside, we decided to go to a car that David had parked in a lot right across from Tower 2. Again, we had no idea that the second tower had been hit. We didn't feel that impact. We didn't know anything about it. No one was telling us about it in the stairwells. So we were most of the way to the car when suddenly Tower 2 collapsed, and so we all had to run for our lives, which we did. We now eventually had to get into a subway system entrance and down into the subway to get out of the wretched air that was just being permeated by all the dust and debris and smoke and so on.
Right. Now, I have a question about that. I have a question about when you were running.
Sure.
You know, we're obviously not, at least I don't think I was trained on, you know, running with my guide dog. And so that must have been a pretty traumatic, you know, experience for both you, you know, and Roselle, right? As far as,
well,
you know, running.
I mean, Roselle worked at being focused. There was nothing that attacked her directly, and but sure, it was very traumatic. But she was great. She focused. I had worked all the way down on the stairs to try to keep her focused, to make sure that she was feeling comfortable. So as much as anything, there was this loud noise, and we just turned and ran. She did exactly what she was supposed to do.
Well, that's awesome. That's pretty scary. Well, let's give the number so people can call in and join us here. It's 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333. So if you want to call in and join and ask Mike a question, please don't hesitate to do that. Again, the number 866-400-5333. Now, when you were still up in your office and you had grabbed her leash, you had mentioned that the building had dropped about 6 feet, right? Is that right?
Right. The building dropped because in order to give the building the ability to sway and be a little bit flexible to deal with high-velocity winds up that far, there are expansion joints that are built into the building. What happened was that, of course, as the building tipped, the joints expanded. So when the building became straight again, picture it like a spring, and the spring sprung back, and then the expansion joints contracted, so the building dropped.
Right. We have a call.
It did everything that it was supposed to do.
Oh, great. Well, good. And Roselle handled that okay, I take it. I mean,
I think that's probably what, as much as anything, woke her up.
Yeah, I bet. It would have woke me up. We have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, my name is Danny.
Hello, Danny.
I'm so thankful to get through. I forgot your name. I tuned in kind of late.
My name is Jeff. My name is Jeff, yes. And we're speaking to Mike Hinkson.
Yes. Did you give the talk at the convention? I wasn't there, but I heard something over the internet about this.
Yes.
Okay. Did you keep? Were you able to keep in touch with that good Samaritan named Lou, who helped you in the subway?
I did not. We didn't see him after that. I didn't even know his last name. And
so you don't know whether he survived or no.
I didn't work to try to find out his name.
Oh. So you don't know whether he survived or not?
Oh, he survived because he was down in the locker room and so on with us, which occurred after Tower 2 fell. I don't know, but seriously doubt that he was anywhere near Tower 1 when it collapsed, because he would have had to go through the World Trade Center to get there. So I'm sure he survived.
Well, I tell you, you know, I think it's so marvelous that you're sharing your story, and hats off to not only you and your guide dog, but also all the other people that will never be, unfortunately, never be known, that have done their bit. And it's just really inspiring. I mean, I think back to where I was at 9/11. Of course, I was nowhere near the site. I was working in a factory in Pennsylvania, and I watched a documentary about it, and it just it's as if it were yesterday. And I'm sure that's even more true with you. But
In fact, until Jeff called me on the phone, I was watching the documentary of the two French brothers. It's on CBS tonight. So that's their actual documentary of what was occurring, because they're the only ones who got continuous footage from before the first plane hit all the way up through after the last tower collapsed.
Gosh. Well, I tell you, it's... I don't know. There's not much, you know, what you said, your words of wisdom about doing what you can and how can we deal with the situation?
Situation we encounter, it's the same sort of concept.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, and I just want to thank you for coming on here and.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be able to be here and be a part of it.
Well, thank you, Danny. We're going to go ahead and let you go so that another person can get in here. But thank you very much
for
calling. Sure.
Bye-bye.
866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF. If you want to get in and talk to Mike tonight here on the Marlena program. And now, did all of your coworkers get out of the tower okay, Mike?
Well, all of my colleagues, the residents of the office, were out that day. The closest any of them got to being in the World Trade Center is that one was coming in for an appointment on, I believe, the 101st or 102nd floor. He had taken the subway in. The subway he was on was just pulling in, or had just pulled in to the station, actually not the subway, but the PATH, which is the train that runs from Newark to the World Trade Center, and then another branch goes from Newark to sort of Midtown New York. Anyway, his PATH train had just pulled in, and he told me later he was just getting off when they kind of heard a rumble and the ground shifted. The conductor yelled for everyone to get back on the train, and they went back out to New Jersey. So that's as close as he came.
Well, that's good.
The impact and what he felt was the second plane hitting.
Wow. We have another caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to the Marlena program. We're speaking to Mike Hinkson.
Hi, Jeff. This is Shirley. How are you tonight?
Hey, Shirley. How are you tonight? Glad to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I've got to tell you, Mr. Hinkson, I have read and heard about you, of course, since this whole thing occurred, and it just amazes me what you went through and what you were able to do, and you're quite an impressive individual, because I wouldn't have made it. I know that much.
You know, one of the things that I tell people is that you never know what you can do until you're put to the test, as it were. And I think
right.
the real thing for me is that, ironically, I was preparing for an emergency all the time I was in the World Trade Center. I spent a lot of time learning how to to travel around the World Trade Center, learn where all the corridors were, learn where all the back road corridors were, learn how to go literally anywhere in the Trade Center and around the World Trade Center. I participated in all the fire drills and the evacuation procedures sessions that were held. I got every piece of information I could, because as a manager, it certainly would be my responsibility to deal with the people who were in our office. So I couldn't necessarily and shouldn't just rely on someone else. I need to know enough to know when to rely on someone, of course, but I also believe that's true of anyone. And the bottom line for me is it was important to know all of that. And of course, that's what helped me have a little bit of a mindset of what to do in the case of an emergency. Can anybody prepare for something like this that occurred on 9/11? No. But we can certainly take a lot of little steps that can be useful and all come together when some emergency or something happens where we need to deal with the information. So I think that you might be surprised at what you could do, and especially if you work at being prepared.
Well, that's true. That's true. I know I wouldn't have the physical stamina, that's for sure. I understand you had to go through, you were running and had to go through quite a big area, and I guess from something I read, it was several hours before you even were able to contact your family again. And
a lot of adrenaline. A lot of adrenaline,
yeah,
I guess, because
it's
I didn't feel tired
story.
At all that day. The next
really?
Day I was stiff as a board, but on 9/11 I worked traveled the whole day and never really felt tired.
I bet your heart was just going a mile a minute going down those stairs.
It has to be.
At least we were going down, I'm sure it
dog?
Was.
Do you still have the same dog?
Yes.
You do? My goodness, that's pretty amazing. So he's
we're in the east today. We're in Maryland, and she's over here asleep. So
wow, that's amazing. And how long was it after that till you were able to go back to work? Then obviously you couldn't go to the same place. So,
no, there was no office, but I had all of my data at home. We were a backup and data protection company, and I took my own advice. I had all my data backed up at home. So that day, well, not that day, but the next day, I was online and communicating with people and so on. As far as really going back to work, no one went to work for a while. The city was totally paralyzed and shut down. There was not going to be anyone buying anything. What we did do was later in the week worked hard to get a lot of products to companies who needed to restore their computer data. See, what we did was to sell the systems that allowed people to back up their data onto tape and to take that data off-site. We sold anything from little tiny boxes to big, huge refrigerator freezer size devices that would record data on hundreds of tapes at a time, or hundreds of tapes, 16 to 20 or 25 or 30 at a time. And so the data then, the tapes were taken somewhere else. So all the Wall Street firms, all the major investment companies that were in the World Trade Center would have all this data recorded, and then they send it somewhere to New Jersey or wherever, where it was completely off-site and protected. So later in the week, they needed to get that data back, because as they started to set up their new operations to come online with the reopening of the stock exchanges on the 17th, they needed to get that data, so we had to provide them with replacement equipment.
Wow. I guess one other thing I'm just kind of curious about, you know, you hear about people that go through traumatic experiences like this, and of course it does have an emotional impact, and a lot of times, you know, people have ongoing nightmares and bad dreams and various things about, you know, these incidents that happened. Have you had much of an effect of that nature, or are you pretty well okay?
Oh, I've had some dreams, but I also think that for me, I've had a lot of opportunity to talk about it, See, after 9/11 and the media started hearing about our story, my wife and I sat down and talked about it because we realized that we were going to be inundated and literally our lives would be turned upside down. And we thought about it a lot. I should explain that my wife uses a wheelchair, so we're both people with disabilities of one sort or another. So we both understand what's going on here and the whole set of issues that we face. We decided if it would help Guide Dogs for the Blind raise money, if it would help educate the public more about what blind people can do because it gave a forum to do that, and also, as important, if not more so, if it would help people move on from 9/11 and get a story of inspiration, then we would allow the media to talk to me, and we would do as much of that as seemed practical to do. So talking about it a lot, getting all sorts of questions, everything from reasonably intelligent questions to absolutely stupid questions, and reacting accordingly, and learning how to deal with all of that, that probably was the thing that helped me the most in working through what happened on 9/11. So I was more blessed than a lot of people because I did talk about it a lot.
Sure.
We put ourselves in that position, not for any kind of profit or anything, but because it seemed like it was a worthwhile and reasonable thing to do. It seemed like God was steering us that way. And then, of course, the job came along at Guide Dogs, which included the opportunity to continue that. So here we are.
Yeah.
How long have you been out there now, then?
Moved back to California. We were even trying to work to get back home. We were from California, so we were working even before 9/11 to go back for Quantum. But the Guide Dogs thing came through, and Quantum wasn't moving in that direction. So basically, I moved out in February of 2002, went back and packed up all of our stuff, and then moved out permanently in March. We moved into our house in June of 2002.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Shirley.
I'd really like to commend you again. And
thank you.
Thanks so much for sharing your story with us, and I appreciate having the opportunity to talk with you.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Good talking with you, Shirley.
Thanks, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. The number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, if you want to talk to Mike tonight. Now, Mike, when you were going down the stairs, had mentioned during the convention that you ran into the firefighters. And, as you said at the convention, they really are the heroes of 9/11. And can you talk to us a little bit about that? That must have been a pretty interesting experience for them to run into, a dog guide, and obviously their first instinct would have been to try to help you, you know, immediately, right?
Oh, yeah. They immediately wanted to send somebody down the stairs with us, and you know, going downstairs is frankly just not that huge of a thing if you're physically able to do that. There are rails, there are other people, they're just stairs, right? And so it was a little bit hard to convince them that I didn't really need any support.
Right.
Finally, it just took me saying, I'm with David here who can see, and so we're in good shape. And then of course, what I did was to ask them if we could help them, because they were going up all carrying these heavy pieces of equipment or a lot of equipment that created a lot of weight for them to carry. I just heard on the documentary 60, 70 pounds of stuff.
Oof.
And we thought it was like in the 70, 80, 100 pounds. And they were going up the stairs. What I just heard tonight was, and hadn't recalled, it took a minute for them to go from one floor to the next.
Really? Mm. So it took them maybe over an hour to get up there.
We could help, and they said, no, you got to go down and get out, and our job is to take care of what's up above.
So it took
other people were asking, can we help you? So
sure.
It was kind of very inspirational to see these people coming up the stairs, selflessly going up into who knew what at the time.
So it took them about an hour or more to get up to the top.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Oh. We have another caller, Mike, and let me bring them in here. Hello, caller. We're with Mike, and you're on the Marlena program.
Hi there, Mike. This is Ray here in Tucson.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
It's Ray in Tucson.
Rand.
Hi there. Mike, I think I remember you. Didn't you do a run-a-thon for, this goes back about 20 years, but didn't you go do a run-a-thon for Second Sight?
No, not I.
Okay, different huh. Mike.
Okay.
Different okay. Mike.
Do you have a question tonight, Ray?
Sorry?
Do you have a question for Mike tonight, Ray?
Yeah. How did Roselle handle all this? Was there any aftermath issues with her? Or did she not seem to be affected in the long run?
Basically, she dogs don't do a lot of what-if things, so there was no real psychological
yeah.
thing. And even running
sure.
away from the tower, we were running long before anything hit us, so she didn't have anything to associate with the tower itself, and to give her any fear of going in tall buildings. Other than, it certainly was a long way down, and she was pretty hot and tired by the time we got to the bottom. She has contracted a condition called immune-mediated thrombocytopenia, and I'm not going to even try to spell it.
Holy moly.
What it is a disease in which the body's immune system attacks the platelets, the things that clot the blood, and kills them. So if the platelet count gets too low, your blood is extremely thin, and you can bleed out from the inside, and there's
sure.
just nothing to stop it. We can't prove that it's 9/11 related. However, one of the things that causes it is ingesting or inhaling toxins, which she certainly did on 9/11. She's part of a study of all of the search and rescue dogs and other dogs who were around Ground Zero, the pile, as it were, and of course, we got this incredibly heavy dose when everything was collapsing. So I personally think that it's related, but no other animal has experienced or exhibited the same situation and symptoms that Roselle did. So we can't really say that it, definitively that it's 9/11 related, but that's my opinion.
So what are you doing now, Mike? Are you still working with Quantum?
Oh, no. I work for Guide Dogs for the Blind. I do a lot of traveling. And
that's right. You do
all
that.
Department.
All right, Ray. Well, we're going to go ahead
you.
And let you go, and so another caller can get on. But we want to really thank you
for calling
us.
Thanks for calling, though.
Thanks, Ray. All right. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And if you'd like to get in and talk to Mike
isn't,
and I.
Isn't that something? Somebody who's got a number named after him.
Yeah. Well, hey, it was available, so I took it.
There you go.
Kind of funny, but you know, and it was only $15. So there
wow.
you go. Yeah, there you go.
Is that a Skype thing?
No, actually, you can actually go through any of these 800 services and actually get what are called vanity numbers. And
yeah.
And so I thought, well, shoot, I'm going to see if Jeff is available. And sure enough, it was. And I thought, well, I'm going to take that. So there you go. Now, it took you about an hour then to get down then, right?
Yeah, it did because of course, all the congestion on the stairs once the firemen were coming up. Traffic moved very slowly going down. So by the time we got down and outside, it was 9:45 or so in the morning.
But the tower was still standing, at least up at the top, correct? Where, do you know?
Yes.
Okay. So no, you weren't real in immediate danger as far as... you know, anything coming down at you going down the stairs.
No, as it turned out. That was, we were still okay.
Yeah.
We were out of that tower in 45 minutes before it fell.
So then your buddy Dave took off without you, and then you caught up with him when you started running
and
away
you
from...
You know, that's perfectly understandable. When
sure.
When a building is coming down, when you're 100 yards away from a 400-yard tall building and it's coming down... You know, you kind of think of you. You don't think of a lot of other stuff. And your first instinct is to just run, and that's what everyone did.
Yeah. And so how long did it take for you to get home? What time was it when you finally got home and were you going to get to your
wife? I was pretty
fortunate.
I was home by 7 that night. We started walking up toward Midtown Manhattan. We were able to hitch a ride on a van part of the way. then later we learned that the trains were running. So about 4:15 or so in the afternoon, we started walking from 17th Street up to 33rd, discovered that there were buses running, so I took a bus up. David and I took a bus up. I went to the train station to catch a train to Newark, New Jersey, and David went on up to his friends on the Upper East Side where he was staying.
Yeah. So now, you obviously had, your wife was probably scared to death because she was probably watching the news and such.
Well, I had called her before we left the building to let her know that we were getting out, and then I didn't talk with her again until after both buildings collapsed, and then we stayed in pretty close touch the rest of the day. But even so, we didn't know what else might happen, so until we actually saw each other again, we didn't know whether we would.
Sure, of course, yeah. Now, so the cell phone lines then were obviously still up and working. I mean, they weren't all jammed, I guess, then, huh?
The connections were a little bit flaky. It was easier to call certain areas than others. So I could route calls through Boston and get to her a lot easier than just dialing directly into New Jersey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's give the number one more time here. It's 866-400-JEFF, 866-400-5333, if you'd like to call in and ask Mike some questions. So now, when you started to go to work at Guide Dog, another caller? Let's bring the caller in first. Hold on to that thought, Jeff, and we'll get back to that. Hello, caller. Welcome aboard here on the Marlena program. We're speaking to Mike Hinkson.
Doesn't he sound like Marlena?
He does.
Do you think?
I think you do.
Well, thank you.
I have a question for Mike.
Okay, who is this that's calling?
I'm Jean from Alabama.
Okay, Jean, go right ahead.
Mike, I'm curious to know if your dog was at all affected by the mass hysteria around you. We hear all these tapes and hear about people screaming and, of course, the jumping from the buildings. Was the dog affected at all by this?
We didn't see the jumping from the building and so on, and the screaming that we saw was really occurring when the building was collapsing and we were both too busy running. So
no doubt.
None of that really impacted her, and dogs tend to live in the moment anyway, so she doesn't, as near as I can tell, go back and have nightmares about that. They don't do what-if scenarios. Gosh, what if I were in that building, and so I'm never going back in there.
Really?
They don't work that way.
But she didn't really, like pull real hard, more aggressively or anything like that as you were either leaving the building or going down the stairs or anything like that,
no.
Was she? Really?
No, she focused and did exactly what she was supposed to
do. Wow.
That's great.
That is really amazing, because I'm not sure Jacinda would. I mean, she's a good girl and all, but man, I think it would be more me, because I think she would sense the fear in me.
Well, that's of course the real issue, and so knowing that, I worked really hard to try to make sure none of that came out, so that she heard only good, confident words from me. It was very conscious and volitional on my part, because I knew that if I started sounding nervous, that was going to be a big problem for her, and that would put us both in jeopardy. So I had to force myself to focus on her and put other things aside, to compartmentalize.
Well, think you're both heroes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Gene. We're going to go.
Everybody was a hero on 9/11.
Indeed. Gene, we're going to go ahead and let you go so we can get another caller in, but thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. Now, do you think that this is due to your managerial training, and working in the industry, working with people, that you were able to remain, so calm? I mean, or do you really think it's just from years and years of using of a guide dog?
I think it's a combination, but I think that the teamwork experience and thinking of it in that sense is more than anything what helped. But I think mostly it was the years of working with a dog. I, until after 9/11, wasn't really used to, neither did the guide dog schools, guide dogs for the blind in specific, really put it in terms of teamwork, partnerships. Guide dogs for the blind has been, of late, actually kind of doing a whole new strategic planning initiative within the organization. And as part of that, what we realized is what we're doing is we're certainly training dogs, we're certainly training people to work with dogs, but what we're really doing is creating partnerships. And after 9/11, when I first started joining, when I first joined Guide Dogs for the Blind, I started talking about the fact that this is a team effort. And what we're doing is creating teams, and it's all about teamwork. I had never put it in those words, and we as a school had never put it in those words, at least in general. We never thought of it as using a guide dog as really a lifestyle choice. But those are all things that are kind of emerging from 9/11 and from reexamining ourselves and recognizing that it's all about team building, and that's what we're really teaching. So I am very fond of saying I've learned a whole lot more about team building and teamwork from working with five guides than I ever have learned from all the sales management and management theory books that I've ever read.
Mm. So now, when students come, you know, to get a dog, have you put out, because obviously you're traveling all over the world, and so you're probably not there a lot, but have you provided a video for them to watch to kind of, you know, put into their mind that this really is a team building thing, you know? Are students able to see something like that when they go?
Not from me directly, but I give a lecture to every class, or most every class.
So what are you communicating out to when you're going out and speaking? You know, when you're going out and speaking about 9/11 and speaking to the public, you're obviously talking about team building. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, what your message is?
At a very high level, a message that says that people generally would much prefer to work as a team than work individually. The fact that so many people pulled together without even knowing each other and literally gave their trust to each other on 9/11 in order to get out, I think is pretty significant. I think that we all, in fact, really do like to work as teams if we can. We recognize inherently that there's power in numbers and there's strength in numbers. We are taught daily by such things as the media and so on why not to trust. But the fact of the matter is that trust is all around us, and that's something that we need to work on developing. Not just arbitrarily trusting, but certainly learning that we can trust and we ought to be open to the concept of trust.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, if you'd like to get in and talk to Mike. And so are you still really talking a lot about 9/11 now, or are you really kind of trying to focus on other areas and things like that now, or what are you kind of doing?
I have to tell you that everywhere I go, one thing that people say when we're talking about what they want in the speech, everyone still wants to hear the 9/11 story. And the reason for that is that it's a positive story. It's a story of survival. It's a story of teamwork. And it's a story that helps people have a little bit better feel about what really went on inside the towers. Everyone was watching it on television. All they had were newspapers and televisions and radios to get information. Nobody has a feel for what it was like there, much less our specific impressions. So people want to hear that because they want to connect. Connecting is one way to help move on and go deal with other things. So that's part of what it's all about for us.
Yeah, right. Well, Mike, if you wanted to leave a message to those that are here listening to the Marlena program and wanted to give them something to think about, tomorrow being the fifth anniversary of 9/11, what might that be?
We never know what kind of situation we're going to be put into. We should welcome challenges and change in our well, we should welcome challenges and change in our lives. We should welcome and embrace the fact that the world's a whole lot bigger and there are a whole lot more unexpected things that can happen than we think about. And I say the world is larger, but in one sense it's getting smaller every day as we get closer and closer and have more dealings with other parts of the world. I think that we all need to do our best to be prepared. We all need to do our best, period. And oftentimes we can do a whole lot more than we think we can do. We, as blind people, are usually underrated, and unfortunately we also underrate ourselves. We need to not do that. We need to recognize that we can do a whole lot more than we think we can, use our wits to function and go forward.
All right. Mike, we have a caller. It looks like this will be probably one of the last callers tonight. Hello, caller. You're on the Marlena program with Mike and Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. This is Randy Tedrow calling from Renton, Washington.
Hello, Randy.
Mike, you happened to speak to my class in Boring, Oregon, July 2005, and appreciated your talk and done some speaking myself or representation for GDB in my community. A question I had for you is, in all the confusion and noise, how are you able to give commands, or how did Roselle respond to commands? Were you mostly using hand gestures, or because I can imagine the noise must have been so tremendous that giving verbal commands must have been difficult.
They were, and so sometimes I had to just use hand signals or sometimes use the leash, not so much as a correction but as a guide to instead of saying hop up, maybe just take the leash in my right hand and kind of just give a little push forward with it to get her to move a little bit faster, because he clearly wasn't hearing my commands while the building was coming down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. That's all I had for you today, and I appreciate you sharing your story again.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan.
Glad things are going well for you and the puppy.
All right. All right. I think we might have time for one more caller if you want to get in really, really quick to talk to Mike. It's 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. And so now, Mike, are you planning any kind of get on the personal side here, because we talked a lot about 9/11 and everything. You planning any really good vacations or anything in the near future?
We're talking about it. We were planning on taking one in August, but my in-laws grew ill, so we didn't get the vacation that we thought. So we're looking at it right now. I've got to get through this week.
Sure.
Beach
probably
here in Maryland
week.
Tomorrow. Larry King live tomorrow night. So everybody watch CNN.
Oh, okay,
and
great.
You can see Roselle.
Very oh, nice,
with Larry. And then I'm going to be in Dayton, Ohio, and then in Tucson, as we talked about later in the week.
Yeah.
And other travels coming up. I'm going to be in Knoxville next week, and then we've got other things in October, including going to speak at a conference in Japan. So what we're going to do for vacation, I don't know, but I hope we get one soon.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you've been doing an awful lot there, and it definitely keeps you busy. Well, Mike, we really, really want to thank you very, very much for coming on the Marlena program this week and talking to all of us. We really do sincerely appreciate it, and give your puppy a pat for us, and safe travels to you.
Well, thank you, and it was an honor to be able to come and chat, and certainly... as I said, I think we can all move forward. We just need to help make the good guys win and make this a better world.
Exactly. Yes, very, very good. Well, again, thank you very much, Mike, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, that was Mike Hinkson here on the Marlena program this week. And, wow, what a story, and what a man. What a just a courageous individual, and just... someone to really admire and really think a lot of. Well, before we get into the next hour, where we're going to talk about anything that you want to talk about tonight on the Marlena program, we're going to play a little bit of a 9/11 tribute. And so for those of you who want to call in, wait until we come back from the tribute, please. I would appreciate that. And we'll definitely... We'll definitely pick you up on the other side of everything. But if If you remember 9/11, we would love to hear from you about what you recall it being like for you, what happened in your life, where were you at the time that you heard the news. I'll share my story. And this Sunday, here in the United States, and it's actually Monday at UTC time, but here in the United States, it's Grandparents' Day. So if you have any stories that you'd like to share about your grandparents, then we would definitely love to hear from you about that as well. So now, without further ado, let's get into the tribute about 9/11, and we'll take it from there, here on the Marlena program.
Say you'll never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I'm not going to make it. But it's okay. I'm ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words. And as she realized he wasn't coming home that night, I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. "I've been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years. I said, "Of course, I'll show you the way home. Only believe in me now." I was at the base of the building when the priest ministered to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. "Come to me, this way. Take my hand." Some chose, for the final time, to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you. But someday your journey will end, and I'll be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then, at any moment, you know you're ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments. Remember, I love you.
In remembrance of 9/11, let's all observe a short period of silence to remember those who have fallen, those who remain, and the heroes of 9/11. (866-400-5333) And we have a caller. Hello, caller. Oh, we thought we had a caller. I think the caller hung up. All right. If you'd like to get a hold of us tonight during the show, get a hold of us, 866-400-5333. We'd love to hear from you. And tonight, as I mentioned before, we'd love to hear about your 9/11 stories. Where were you when you heard? What kind of impact did it have on your life? And also, we're talking about grandparents tonight. And so if you'd like to call in and talk on the show, then do get a hold of us, 866-400-5333. Now, it was a very, very interesting day for me on 9/11, and I'd gotten up early because I was carpooling with some friends from church, and I normally was up and ready to go by 5:30 because that's when we were picked up, Jacinda and I. And we were standing outside waiting for a ride, and they were a bit late that morning. And my usual thing was to listen to the news as I was waiting, and I would turn on CNN News. And here in Tucson, we had CNN News available to us on AM. And so I was listening to that, and it was about 5:40 in the morning, and they were talking, some Wall Street stuff or something. I don't recall exactly what was being talked about. And as the van pulled up to pick me up, it was about 5:46 in the morning, and at that time, of course, that would have been 8:46 Eastern. So that's when, of course, things began to happen. And they were interviewing someone who was actually standing near a window, looking out the window in the World Trade Center, and saw what had happened. And so I jumped in the van and told them, and they turned the radio on, and the excitement began, and the tragedy had begun. It was very, very, very sad. I had gotten to work, and since I was there pretty early, I had gotten there by 6 o'clock in the morning. There was nothing really noticeably different as of yet. Got in, was able to cart into the building, got into my office, and logged on to the internet and everything, was checking websites and looking around to see what was happening. And around 7 o'clock, we received an email, which we normally didn't receive those, at least from major portions of the university, that early in the morning. And the email basically said that the building was going to be locked down, and that if you needed to get anywhere within the building, even to use the restroom, you had to use your card key. And made for an extremely interesting situation for us. And for those that came in later in the morning, they actually had a person there, and people had to show ID to be able to get into the building. And it stayed that way for a few days, actually. And hey, Jacinda. Jacinda's in here. she's in here, and lay down, girl. Lay down. Atta girl. And so that was pretty much our experience on 9/11. We all went upstairs and went into the break room and watched TV and watched all the things that happened. But it was a pretty tragic situation for many. And we knew a couple of people at work that actually knew people that were in the tower. So of course they were pretty much on edge. If you'd like to get into the show tonight, the number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF, and we'd love to hear from you tonight here on the Marlena program. And we had one other song in the 9/11 tribute, and we broke away from that because of the thought of having a caller. We'll go ahead and get into that now. But if you want to get on to the show, get a hold of us, 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble?
Caller, we'll be right with you.
For the ones left below. Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer, and look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us. Greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes and hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep? Did you notice the sunset the first time in ages, or speak to some stranger on the street? Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things he gave us, and the greatest is love, and the greatest is love, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
Let's all try to remember that that true message is love, and hold on tight to everybody, and pray for those who remain and who lost family members. We have a caller. Hello, caller, and welcome to the Marlena program.
This is Karen and Daryl.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. We've really enjoyed listening to the first hour, and Mike, you have an amazing story.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
You know, being there and telling us all about it, I don't know how I would have reacted. I don't know if I could have been so calm.
Yeah, I don't think I could have either, Karen.
Although I would, we seriously would have tried to be calm, because I do know how much that affects the dogs. I have enough trust in Douglas that I know he would have gotten me down the stairs. But knowing, you know, that I'm a bit of a high-strung person sometimes, and really am scared of loud noises, and I'm sure the explosions would really have affected me. However, none of us know how we would have reacted until we were put into a situation and how we deal with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, how about you, Daryl?
I think I would have also been hard-pressed, although we must remember that at the time, you know, they didn't really know what was going on yet. You know, it took some time to really fully... you know, for everything to sort of fall into place as far as what happened.
Right.
I know you're going to be talking more about this on your show, so we won't give it all away here, but just real briefly, where were both of you when 9/11 took place?
We were waking up, getting ready for, I was telecommuting back then, too. I was working for a small, medium, kind of mid-sized internet provider, and I was a network administrator, and Karen was getting up and getting ready. It was about 5:45, and we were listening to a local morning show on one of the radio stations, and all of a sudden they started talking about, you know, like, that's why I said it kind of took a while to fall into place.
It was definitely a shock.
And at first they were talking about, I remember, this was this morning show, Beth and Bill here in Phoenix, and I think Beth was talking about, you know, something about, hey, there's, you know, something's come across the wire. There was some kind of accident at the World Trade Center, and one of the towers was hit by a small airplane. And I think I remember distinctively thinking to myself, you know, I don't know. That can't just be an accident. Let me turn on CNN. And
well,
so I did, and that's when things started to fall into place.
I thought the first train was an accident, so I would never in my wildest dreams think of such a thing. But we were both shocked. Normally, you know, we were lying there for like 20 minutes or so and take a long time to get out of bed, but it definitely alerted us, and we turned on the television right away, and unfortunately I could not watch a lot of the coverage because I had to get ready for work at the time. I was working at the Hyatt for my current job, and
Hey guys, hold on 1 second. I think Marlena is calling in, and let's bring her in.
Okay.
I think Marlena is here.
This is Alaska calling Marlena. Oh no, wait a minute, I'm not calling Marlena. I'm calling, who am I calling?
You're
Hello,
calling the
Dr. Bishop.
You're calling the Marlena program. Hello,
I'm
Marlena.
I've never called the Marlena program before.
Indeed. Well, say hello to Daryl and Karen. They're currently called into the show as well. Hello.
Well, hello, Daryl and Karen.
Hi, Marlena.
Hi, Marlena.
So,
hey, we're on this great cruise in Alaska.
Uh-huh.
And We're having a great time. I was supposed to go and see the dog sleds today, but a couple of weeks ago, they had an independent helicopter company took some people on this same tour in these very foggy conditions, and they got stranded on the glacier, and they had to spend the night.
Oh, my gosh.
In the dog camp.
Wow.
So, therefore, our tour operator said, no, 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 no. He said, I could get you there, but I don't think I could get you back.
Holy cow, Marlena, that's something else.
Yeah. Yeah, but I learned about the dogs, and I learned that that there are about 44 dogs in this particular camp, and that they live on the glacier until the winter comes, and then some of them, depending on their age, go north to run the Iditarod.
Oh,
and
okay.
Others go south to winter in Colorado, if you can imagine.
Colorado?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would think Florida or something.
Well,
you know,
yeah, it's, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So, but we're having a wonderful time. Burl and Denise Colley are with us. And, of course, Burl is the ACB tour guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Denise are on a tour of an authentic Juneau gold mine right now.
Oh, neat.
And Gary, the board guy, and I are sitting in the Champagne Terrace.
That's where we figured you were.
That's where what?
That's where we figured you were.
That's where you figured we were.
Sure,
well,
of course.
There you go.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday, we're going to have Madeline's guide dog retirement party right here in this very place.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
And you're going to do a special Marlena program on the 24th, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to do a special Marlena program on the 24th. About guide dogs, the raising of the puppies, the training of the dogs, the receiving of the dogs, and then the retiring of the dogs. And I want to ask all my listeners to save up your guide dog stories and be prepared to call in and tell us funny stories, tell us heart-wrenching stories. This is going to be a tribute to Madeline and to all guides working and retired on the 24th. So I'm really looking forward to that. Actually, it'll be on the 25th in UTC time.
That's right. That's right.
On the 24th in North America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have definitely some stories to tell about that, both very, very happy and also very sad. I think
yeah,
I think all of us
yeah.
do. And
so how do you like doing my show?
Well, we it was very, very, to be perfectly honest with you, very, very nerve-wracking in the first hour. Things are getting better. We had a little bit of jazz going into the stream somehow. We don't quite know how that happened.
Jazz?
Yes.
I think I know what happened, and I think it has something to do with, what we, may have something to do with what we experienced, yesterday, Jeff, so.
Okay, well, we'll talk later about
that. We'll talk about that offline. But.
Yeah, I don't quite get that because there was no music going into the board.
That's wild.
At all, so I have no idea where the music.
We're failing
that's
over.
Wild. Maybe it was coming over your phone line.
I don't know. What do you think it was, Daryl?
Well, I think that it sounded to me like music I've heard before. I think it was failing over because on the other port, I'm also listening to you on a couple of different sections of the link.
Right, of course.
And on the other port, you had that breakup, that stream breakup that we talked about either earlier this morning or yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and I think that when the stream breaks up, it was failing over to.
Oh, I see. So maybe it was going to the loop or something. Yeah, who knows? But,
yeah. Well, who knows? It's all too technical for my listeners, but at least
that's
you're
right.
there now.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
And Mike was great. We talked quite a bit about 9/11 and had lots of callers. And
great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I think he was ready for bed by the time we were done.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well
you have a wonderful, wonderful time.
I think Jeff's doing a great job.
Well, you have a wonderful time on the ship, Marlena.
I'm sure Jeff's doing a great job. And tomorrow, Jeff, we're going to Skagway, Alaska.
Oh, nice.
And we will be riding on the White, what is it called? White Pass, Yukon Rail, White Pass and Yukon Railroad. And we're going to go up to the top of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be in Canada, and then we'll turn around and come back, and we'll hear all the stories about, oh, they have a place on this journey called Dead Horse Gulch. And we'll hear all the stories about that, the gold miners, how they settled the land. And
mm-hmm.
So we're really looking forward to that. And then in the afternoon, Burl and Denise are going on a tour that is a city walking tour, and one of the places they walk to is I don't know if this is exactly the name of it, but the House of the Good Time Girls. So you never know what stories they may come back with.
I suppose.
But we're having an absolutely wonderful time, and you know, if anybody listening has ever thought about taking a cruise and sort of wondered, I don't know, let me tell you, the folks on Royal Caribbean, and in particular the Vision of the Seas, which is the ship we're on now, are just fabulous. They are absolutely wonderful. And for blind people, you know, they offer you as much help as you need. Nobody forces themselves on you. And if you want to get lost, by God, they'll let you get lost. So it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I really, really encourage folks to give it some thought and give it a try, because it is just it's a wonderful way to have a vacation. And this particular ship is very easy to get around because it has a great big fountain in the center. So you can use that fountain, which you can hear for four floors because it's an open, like, atrium. And so you can use that fountain as your orientation, and you know whether you're going to the front of the ship or the back of the ship. So it's a great experience,
like,
and
kind of,
I hope everyone would think about trying it someday.
That's great, Marlena. Well, you and Gary, the board guy, have a wonderful, wonderful time, and we'll see you back in, about a little less than 2 weeks.
Marlena?
Yeah?
Do they have Wi-Fi on there, on the ship?
They do have Wi-Fi on the ship.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, very, very good.
They do indeed. And you know what else they have? They even have their own cell phone tower on the ship.
Oh, really? Whose is that?
Yep. It's theirs.
Wow. So,
Yep. So you pay your roaming charges, and I'll let you know when I get my bill.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. But right now I'm hooked up to Singular because we're in Alaska. We're docked right now. So, but from the middle of the ocean, I can make phone calls.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yep.
Well, good.
You can use Skype with Wi-Fi.
That.
I don't know if the Wi-Fi is fast enough for Skype. It's a satellite Wi-Fi.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I'll let you get back to doing my show.
Okay, good. I'll make sure I try to keep it in good hands.
I'm sure you will. And to all my listeners, now, come on, give Jeff a call. And welcome him on, and give him a great Marlena welcome. And
thank you.
I will be back on the air on the 24th, 25th. In the meantime, Dr. Bishop is in charge of the ship.
All right. Well, you enjoy it, and happy sailing to you.
All right. Well, thank you, and ship ahoy.
Ship ahoy. Ta-ta
ship
for
ahoy.
Now.
Over the side with you, matey.
Yeah.
Bye, Marlena.
Bye-bye. Well, there goes Marlena. Yep, off onto the ocean blue. So, well, you guys got any last comments before we let you go?
Just to check out our show. We're doing a special tomorrow.
Right.
It should be the 9/11, starting at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific, which is 12:30 Universal.
You know, just I know it really has. You know, we haven't forgotten. It really changed me as
mm-hmm.
far as how I perceive the world. And, you know, I'm certainly, Well, Gerald considered me a pacifist before the war, before 9/11.
Well, great, and you're starting a little earlier too, aren't you? You're 5:30.
Right.
5:30.
Definitely. Yeah. Special permission to start early so that we can. We're going to have bells and a moment of silence for each major event that took place on 9/11, and most of those are during the bulk of those are during the show. So, since most of them were already, we decided to get permission, and we got it, to start at 12:30 Universal, so that we get the first plane that hit at 12:46 Universal.
There you go. Yeah.
It took a lot of production and a lot of work into the show, but we enjoyed putting it together. And
ACB Radio Interactive.
There you go. Interactive.acbradio.org, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So thanks for having us on, Jeff.
That's quite all right.
Karen wanted to say something about
this. Grandparents.
Oh, grandparents, yes. It's Grandparents Day, at least on Sunday here. Go right ahead, Karen.
Right. Well, I don't have any interesting stories or anything, but I just want to make comments. I have a lot of fond memories of my grandparents. I never knew my mom's parents, but I knew my dad's. And I used to hear stories of, when they were children in Ireland and how they met and what it was like living in Ireland. And we used to visit them like every other weekend or so and just spend time together and have picnics and go places and play card games and just, really enjoy time with them. And, you always think that you have one last time, with people. And I remember with my grandfather in December of '89, we were visiting them for Christmas, and we thought, oh, we'll see you again. We'll talk to you next, in a few weeks. Of course, it never happened. And, of course, you feel a lot of guilt and, a lot of sadness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You always think that you have one last moment,
Yeah.
You have to cherish the times and hold on to the memories.
So it's Grandparents' Day and 9/11 to remind us about that.
Exactly.
Anyone who has not called their grandparents.
Yeah, definitely do that, absolutely. Well, my grandfather introduced me to baseball, and we used to watch Dodger games together. Oh, wow. And my grandmother, who passed away, she was wonderful. She was an amazing grandmother. She was the very typical grandmother that, the all-American grandmother, grandmother and apple pie, basically kind of situation. She was a very, very loving woman and just a remarkable, remarkable woman. And my grandpa on that side of the family was pretty much deaf. And so it was really rather interesting because to speak to him, you had to yell across the table at him because he could hear some a little bit. And so it really made dinner time a really interesting experience, especially if one person was sitting, at the total opposite end of the table and you wanted to tell Grandpa something, you pretty much had to scream at him. But just family is so, so important. And, it's just very, very critical. All right, guys. Well, thank you very, very much for calling in tonight on the Marlena program, and we'll catch up with you.
Great show.
Well, thank you, and we'll catch up with you later. All right?
All right. Okay.
See ya. Bye-bye. Bye. 866-400-5333. 866-400-5333. And we had a little bit of a surprise there with Marlena calling into her program tonight. It's probably pretty rare that she calls into her own show. And love to hear from her tonight, sailing around on a ship in Alaska, currently docked, though. So very, 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 very nice. If you'd like to get into the program tonight, the number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. I'd love to talk to you tonight here on the Marlena program. Now, coming up on Main Menu, just so that you're aware, is going to be a very special edition of Main Menu next week. We're going to be doing a two-hour edition, and the first hour is dedicated to All in Play. All in Play and ACB Radio are sponsoring a tournament, actually a number of tournaments, and they begin this coming weekend. And in preparation for that on Main Menu, hold on caller, we'll be right with you. In preparation for the tournament, we're going to be talking all about All in Play. We'll first hear from Jeremy, one of the co-founders from All in Play, and then we're going to talk all about Crazy Eights. Marlena and her panel of experts will be talking to us all about Crazy Eights, and then we'll wrap things up with that with a little bit of a demo from Marlena on the actual game of Crazy Eights. And then in the second hour of Main Menu, we conclude the very excellent presentation done by John Gunn all about the Apple Macintosh and VoiceOver, and we conclude that series with about a 15-minute presentation from Darcy and Holly, who do the Screenless Switchers podcast, and both of them are blind, and they are Macintosh users, and they have a podcast all about that, and we bring them on to talk about what their experiences are with the Mac and where they think things are going with the Mac. So that's coming up this week on Main Menu. That's at 1 to 3 Universal on Mainstream. You're already here. So Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, Jeff. It's Nikki Kobe.
Nikki! How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very, very good. Now, where were you on 9/11?
I was at school.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was walking with a friend and my adaptive phys ed instructor.
Mm-hmm.
We were walking because I believe the class was playing tennis, and we decided that might be a stupid game for me to attempt that day. I'd already learned to see stars with the volleyballs, so we decided that tennis probably wouldn't be any better of an idea. But we were walking, and my adaptive phys ed teacher happened to mention that they were closing down some of the airports. I said, well, what's that about? And they said, oh, she thought it was a possible terrorist attack at that time, but they didn't know if there actually would be one. Well, we came back in, and I was at my locker. The principal comes on and says, well, with everything happening on the East Coast, let's have a moment of silence. My dad was on the East Coast on a business trip that day.
Oh, my gosh. So you were probably pretty frightened about that.
I was freaking out.
Sure.
To put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember going, oh, man, what's going on? They would not let any of the teachers turn on CNN or any news or anything.
Mm.
The only reason I figured out what was going on was that for some reason I did not have access to Braille for my social studies class. So one of the students in that class was also in my study hall. So we had gone to the library to read. Well, there were no students in there except us, and they just kind of ignored the fact that we were in there and turned on the TV. So we were able to figure out what was going on. But until then, I had no idea. And, of course, my dad wasn't in Washington or New York. He was close to Pennsylvania, but not there. So, you know, I figured he must probably be okay, but I wasn't sure, because I believe he was actually in a government facility that day. So I was kind of freaked.
Sure.
But they really weren't telling us anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, had I not actually, this was the one time, not having the right access was actually a good thing.
Sure. Now, when did you get to hear from him?
I believe we heard from him that night.
Wow, all
but
day.
It was kind of scary because he wasn't answering his cell phone, which, I mean, we used to give him a hard time about that all the time. Now he doesn't even carry one at all.
That's interesting.
He, you know, doesn't answer his phone. And then normally what will happen is you'll leave him a voicemail, and he'll call you, and he's like, what did you want? And I'm like, I just left you a voicemail. But he didn't even call back like he normally would. So, of course, I was kind of freaked about that. And at the time, my mother was working outside of the house, so I came home to a completely empty house. And we did have a black lab at the time, but he was so old he wouldn't have defended me. He would have just rolled over and probably
licked him to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's Julio.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay.
Buddy did do that. Buddy barked at people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even. Buddy was deaf and going blind and all that stuff. So it was.
Pretty scary for you. Now, what about grandparents? And cause, you know, today here in the U.S. on Sunday it's Grandparents Day, and how have your grandparents played a role in your life?
Well, it's kind of interesting you mentioned that, because about a month before 9/11, my grandfather died, the one that I'd known, because the one on my dad's side was dead long before I was even born. But he passed away, so that all of that combined was kind of an interesting thing. My grandmother, one of them is still living, and she is a wonderful lady. I can definitely see where my dad got a lot of his characteristics, good ones, usually. And my other grandmother, though, I knew her a really pretty well. She was always playing with me, always, you know, just really adjusted to the fact that I was born blind and just kind of went, oh, whatever. I remember, you know, she was always telling me to use my cane or, you know, going sighted guide the proper way, all of those things.
Good grandmother.
Yeah, really.
Indeed.
she was a brave lady, too. She walked around on a broken hip for 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Yeah. And now I actually know that if I had known anything about anatomy, I was 6 at the time, I would have known that a hip is not supposed to look the way it looked when she let me touch it.
Oof.
Because there's not supposed to be something that feels like a ball on the outside of the hip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she was a really brave lady. And so she and my grandfather, you know, you don't realize sometimes just how much you see their love for each other until one of them passes away. And knowing that about my grandmother, that, you know, she just persevered through incredible pain, I remember she had a hospitalization that would have been normal for her. And, you know, I actually at that point was kind of to the stage, well, I'm sure she'll be fine. I was nervous, but yeah, she'll be fine. And she just kind of, you know, because my grandpa died like nine months before that, she just kind of, she didn't really give up, but she did, you know?
Yeah, that's very common, actually.
It is very common, but yeah. I didn't, you know, at the age of 15, you don't realize how common that is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. All mm-hmm. of those events are just right in the same.
Yeah, so it must make it really rough for you around this time of year. You know, both in January and now.
Yeah. It's really, like I said, Grandpa died in August, and mm-hmm. Grandma died in April. So we're coming up on the five-year anniversaries, and that's kind of, I didn't really put it together until today, actually.
Right.
That it was 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how fast it goes.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder what they would have thought of Julio, actually. And I.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I'm sure your grandmother would have loved him.
She would have loved him.
Yeah.
I don't know how she felt about being licked to death, though, because Julio has OATD, overactive tongue disorder, I think.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, well, Nikki, thank you for calling in and sharing both your stories about your grandparents and your 9/11 story. We really do appreciate it. Sure.
Thank
and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. 866-400-5333. 866-400-5333. If you'd like to get on to the show tonight, we would love to hear from you. Let's see. Carrie? Nope. Carrie's not. Thought Carrie was in here. I was going to actually have her talk to you a little bit about her grandparents. She had some just incredible grandparents. And just unbelievable stories. We could do a whole show on her grandparents. pretty incredible people. 866-400-5333. 866-400-JEFF if you'd like to get in on the show. Now my grandmother on my mother's side and Grandpa. Now, this was the Grandpa who introduced me to baseball. They both bought me a Braille Bible when I was very young, and they were quite involved in they were quite involved in church, and I still remember the day that they got me a Bible, and can remember the time of my grandmother sitting down and talking to me about the Bible, and really admire that. She is still living, and so definitely glad about that. So yeah, I had some very very wonderful grandparents for sure. Now the following week on Main Menu, just for those of you that are inquisitive minds want to know, we're going to continue the All in Play series, because that weekend after that, the weekend coming up after Main Menu, not this week but the following week, there will be two more tournaments, a Texas Hold'em and a poker tournament. And on that edition of Main Menu, we're going to hear all about Texas Hold'em. And again, we'll get a little bit of a demo of Texas Hold'em from Marlena, and Marlena will bring a panel of guests on to talk to you all about Texas Hold'em. So, we have a caller calling in. Hold on one second. Caller, we'll bring you on here. Welcome aboard the Marlena program. Here speaking to Jeff. How's it going?
It's going, Jeff. It's going fine.
Oh, good.
It's Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy.
Hello.
Hello there. So what's up in your neck of the woods?
Well, it wasn't that. It was more that you were wondering where people were and what people did on 9/11. And I'm a great internet radio listener. Yes, I do listen to stations occasionally, other than ACB radio. And it was sheer coincidence that morning that I was listening to WNYC, New York Public Radio, when that all happened.
Oh, okay. And my wife has just come in to join us, too, so sorry about that. Got a little distracted. So you were listening to it on NPR then?
Yeah, I was indeed. And, you know, at first they thought it was an accident as well.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, of course, they lost one of the antennas at the top of one of the towers.
Oh, really?
I'm glad I got on then, because I tried later on during the day, and, of course, the whole thing was swamped like that. You know, the internet went crazy.
Sure, I bet. Oh, yeah, it went crazy at work, too. In fact, we had lots of problems at work just getting our application hosted, because the bandwidth at work at the university just went nuts during 9/11. I mean, everyone was trying to get to CNN and everything else. It was absolutely crazy.
I guess that's a good advertisement for amateur radio, isn't it? It's the one means of communication that will keep going when cell phones and internets and things get all clogged.
Indeed. Well, let's see. Now, Carrie has joined us, and hold on, let me turn her mic on here. And, Carrie, you want to say hello? She just left. Go get Carrie.
Fair enough.
I cannot believe she left like that. Oh, boy. Let me,
Hey, it was nice to hear Marlena. She's having a lovely time.
Indeed, it was very, very nice. She sounds like she's really, really, really enjoying herself on the ship there. Very, very, very interesting. Oh, is Carrie back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Okay, I'll turn your mic on now. Come over and say hello to everybody. Don't get too close, because your mic's pretty hot.
Oh, okay.
There you
go.
Hello. We were talking about grandparents tonight. Say hello to Chrissy. She's on with us. Say hello.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
There you go.
Hi there.
And you want to talk a little bit about your grandparents, Carrie?
Oh, my grandmother was wonderful. My grandmother's family, they were the ones that settled the Pine area of Arizona, and my great-great-grandfather was the first schoolmaster in Arizona. So we've got quite a bit of history here in my family. And my grandma has all kinds of stories. And
yeah.
She actually, Pine was kind of less technology in Pine than a lot of Arizona. She grew up, they didn't have a car or running water or...
Yeah, can you imagine no running water?
Conveniences.
I know.
Horse and buggy.
Yeah, pretty amazing. I remember when we were dating and meeting her grandmother. She was an incredible woman. And how old was she when she passed away, Carrie? 85? 86?
No, I think she was 89.
89. And she worked pretty much up until the time that she died. And she did tons of work.
Wow.
I mean, she was responsible for an apartment complex, and she ran that whole place, and she went and did cleaning for a bunch of people.
She took care of a couple that was like 10 years younger than her, that she called an elderly couple, even though they were younger.
Yeah, we think that's what really did keep her going. Although you really, you know, I think she would have found something to do if she wasn't doing that. I mean, she was the type of a woman that nothing kept her down, you know, and when she had a stroke and really went downhill from there, and it really affected her. I think it really broke her spirit, because, you know, she was one of these people who would work 18 hours a day, you know, even at 88 years old, and that's really no joke. She was nuts.
She could work circles around me, you know.
Oh yeah,
and my mom. And
yeah, she's just an amazing, amazing woman.
She thrived at burning the candle at both ends, so to speak. And when she had a stroke, it was very difficult for her to have other people do for her instead of her doing for others.
Yeah, very difficult.
That must be awful, actually. That really must. You know, you're an
she was a wonderful, wonderful
agile person, and then all of a sudden you can't be. The sheer loss of independence must be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really must have been very difficult for her. I really can't comprehend what it would have been like for her. It probably would have been really, really difficult for her to deal with not being able to do. Very, very difficult. Now, what about your grandparents, Chrissy?
Well, I was an adopted person, Jeff. I never knew my real grandmother, but my adopted mother's mother mm-hmm. was a wee Scottish lady, a lovely, lovely person she was.
We
were here in New Zealand, and she had been out in what was then Malaya, now Malaysia, and her husband had been a rubber planter or something like that, and the stories she had were phenomenal. You know, I mean, that's the one thing about grandparents. They usually tell good stories.
Oh, indeed. Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah, Carrie's folks for sure could tell stories. I loved going up to visit them because you could just sit there, and you wouldn't be bored listening to all the stories.
Oh, no, never bored, no.
Oh, my gosh, it was just incredible. All right, Chrissy, we'll let you go and try to get one more caller in before we close the shop for tonight. But thank you very, very much for calling in, and we really do appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Jeff.
And I'll get with you after
Bye.
All right, there you go. There goes Chrissy in the UK calling into the Marlena program. If you'd like to call in tonight, the number is 866-400-5333, 866-400-JEFF. You'd like to get in and make some comments here on the show. And so, there you go. We got all in play for the next 2 weeks on Main Menu. And then coming up in the very near future, we're going to be switching and talking a lot about Microsoft and what's coming up with their technology products. So stay tuned for that on the Main Menu front. And let's see. We got anything else going on tonight? Well, we have we've been dealing a lot with broken things in the house. We have had you want to talk about the broken things in
curse.
you want to talk about the electrical curse?
Okay. I think we have some kind of electrical entity going through our house breaking
stuff. We have a caller, Carrie. Hold on a minute. Let's find out who this is. Hello, caller, and welcome to the Marlena program.
Good evening, Jeff. It's Steve Bauer checking in.
Hey, Steve. How you doing there, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Oh, good.
I wanted to quickly tell what I was doing when things happened on 9/11 5 years ago. I was at work, and at that time we had a smooth jazz radio station here, which hardly did anything live at all, and they did nothing for quite a while after the event took place. My wife actually called me and told me what was going on. Then I went to a news talk station. But the interesting thing was that within just a matter of a few minutes of time, of course, back then, we didn't have a lot of bandwidth for the Internet, as you had mentioned earlier. Our IT department shut the Internet off completely.
Really?
Prohibited email, everything. They literally just closed it down.
Wow. Now, why? They didn't want... They were concerned about security then, or what was
they were more concerned that customers would not be able to access the web page and handle business
transactions.
That way.
I see.
So they didn't want to. So after a while, they did turn it back on. But of course, as it happened, there was just not much going on. The phone center just dead, no calls, and they actually sent people home.
Sure.
Because there was nothing for them to do.
Well, no, I wouldn't think that there would be. Not if people aren't calling in.
No.
So, yeah.
And I wanted to quickly tell two quick grandparent stories.
Very good, yes.
And, of course, I could go on for a long time, but the two things, my parents on my father's side, my grandparents there, were very, very devout Catholics. And, of course, I'm Catholic myself. And in those days, when I was a little kid, one of the AM radio stations every evening broadcast the recital of the rosary every evening. And if we mistimed it and went to my grandparents' house and the rosary was on and we walked in, you didn't say hello, you didn't say a word.
Wow.
You hit your knees, and when the rosary was finished, then you could say hello and talk.
Wow. Well, that's good. Showed reverence.
Yeah, on my mother's side, it was my grandparents there. It was the Lawrence Welk show.
Oh, what a switch, huh?
You if that was on again, you walked in and you sat down and you didn't say a word until the Lawrence Welk show was finished.
Oh, that's great.
So, but it's interesting when you think back at grandparents and which one.
Sure.
Which one played a bigger role or a different role in your life, and it brings back a lot of memories.
Indeed, it does. Well, Steve, we're running out of time on the show, but we do really appreciate you calling in and sharing your stories with us tonight. That's fantastic. You want to give a real quick plug for your show coming up this week?
We'll be on Tuesday evening with Smooth Jazz USA, 23 hours Universal, 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern, and I've got 4 hot new smooth jazz releases we'll be doing, and I got a special show we'll be talking about, all kinds of fun things.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Ben, thank you.
Radio Interactive.
There you go. That's right. All right,
okay.
Steve. Take care, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, I want to thank everybody, and especially Mike Hingson for joining us here on the Marlena program tonight. We've had a really good time bringing the show to you tonight. And we'll see all of you next week on the next edition of the Marlena program. And then Marlena will be back for a very, very special program where she'll be talking about her guide dog, Madeline, and she'll be retiring her new guide dog, and we'll be sharing guide dog stories. So that's all coming up in the next couple of weeks here on the Marlena program. Good night, everybody. Have a great week. Why aren't we playing?
This week, it's been a joy to be with you. And I hope you'll come back next week right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Marlena, and this is the music of Lee Rettenhauer, Little Dolphin Dreamin', as we go out for this week. It's been a joy to be with you. And I hope you'll come back next week right here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Let me thank the team that helps make all of this happen. That's Chrissy Cochran in the UK, Jeff Shang in Australia, and Gary the Board Guy in the other room. We'll be back again, same time, same place, next week here on ACB Radio Mainstream. But if you'd like to send me an email in the meantime, you can address it to Marlena. That's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A. ANA at acbradio.org. Till we're together again, have a great week, and we'll see you next time, right here on Mainstream.